Going to be looking at, wowee. Nothing like ending the year with a bang. We're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 to verse 24. But we need to understand what goes before that. In Ephesians 5, 18, it says, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein it is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Everything flows from a Spirit-filled and a Spirit-controlled life." He says, speaking unto yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual song, making melody into your heart as unto the Lord. And then he wants us to give thanks. Submitting yourselves then one to another. That's verse 21. The key to the Christian life is a Spirit-filled life. It's a Spirit-controlled life. And probably the best place you're going to find out as to whether you are controlled by the Holy Spirit or not is within your home. And your home is a picture of Christ and the church. And we need to be reminded of that. But you see, in order to be continually controlled by the Holy Spirit, I must give up my rights, just like the song says. I must yield and surrender completely everything that I have in order for Jesus Christ to be who He is in us and ultimately through us. Our Father, I thank You so very much that we're reminded of just surrender. It's hard. It's not easy. We're so full of ourselves and our plans and our dreams and our hopes. We so often don't even consider we so often don't even ask You what we should do, where we should go, or what we should be. I would ask You, Lord Jesus, that You would challenge our hearts this morning. And may we be honest. Are we willing to yield our rights to Jesus Christ? In Jesus' name, amen. We live in a day and an age in which authority is totally undermined. Some of it is legitimate, some of it is not. Some comes to us from the president, and some from the Congress, and some from the Senate. And we have a nonpartisan investigation going on. Or do we? We question the authority and people that are in places of authority, whether they're teachers or judges. We have the Supreme Court judges that are supposed to vote on issues based upon the Constitution, and yet nearly all of them vote according to party lines. And then you wonder, are they really unbiased judges? Then we come to the thing of rights and authority, and that's what we said. We have a society. We've been taught that there is no such thing as absolute truth. Oh, by the way, I did find out something about President Trump that you need to mark this down. He's not going to get credit for it, and I mentioned it to somebody this morning. And that is, he did in 10 months what the last three presidents couldn't do in their entire term. He stopped global warming. I don't know about you, but for 2 weeks, when it doesn't get above 20, I'm thinking somebody must. He's not going to get credit for it, believe me. Oh well, back to what I wasn't saying. But you see, everyone has their rights. There's gay rights and abortion rights and student rights and children's rights and minority rights. And when we come to the word or the idea of submission, it is really difficult for us to even grasp what submission is. And that's what we're talking about when we come to chapter 5, verse 22 to verse 24. Verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another. And then he says, wives to your husband. And he begins to talk. Wives, and the word submit is not found in the original, but wives, submit yourselves to your own husband as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be unto their own husbands in everything. And if you take it in one given direction, this is just not exactly I don't know whether I am sexist at this point, I don't know whether I am biased at this. I don't know what I am. This is really, we live in a society that if you say anything towards women, then it must be a sexist comment. This is not a sexist comment. This is just biblical truth. And so what you have is when you come to submission, now here's what we miss. It's a picture of Christ and the church. We often stop with wives submit. And about the time you want to poke your wife. Wives submit, but we fail to realize it's a picture of Christ in the church. And he's not just talking about a man and woman or a husband and wife relationship. He's talking about the church of Jesus Christ and how we fit in. You see, everyone has their right. Submission is the key when it comes to verse 22 to verse 24. But here's the real question. Are you willing to yield up your rights to Jesus Christ? Are you willing to yield up your rights to Jesus Christ? That's the bottom line. That's where we run into problem. But you see, in order to do this, to yield up my rights, it'll never happen until, first of all, verse 22, I must see him as my sovereign. Because it says in verse 22, wives submit as unto the Lord. Notice the submission is submit personally. Wives, submit yourselves. See, in this picture we have here, the bride or the wife is a picture of the church. The husband is a picture of Jesus Christ as he is the head and as he is the author of the church. The word submit is not found in the original. He goes back to verse 21. So what he's saying here is it's not only a submission of a, because like I said, the word there submit is I yield up my rights in love. Then what he does, he talks about the wife. Then he talks about the husband. Then he talks about the parents to children. Don't exasperate your children. And then he says, children, obey your parent. What they're doing in this passage of Scripture is showing a picture of Christ in the church, but you yield up your rights. Are you willing to yield up your rights to Jesus Christ? That's tough. That's the bottom line. You see, unless I am willing to yield up my rights to Jesus Christ, I can never experience chapter 5 and verse 18 of being not drunk with wine wherein it is excess, but be controlled by the Holy Spirit. How can I be controlled by the Holy Spirit and controlled by myself? You can't. And so he's asking you, are you willing to yield up your rights? But you do it personally. He says, submit. Yield up your rights in love yourselves. Yourselves. What is yourself? It's all that you call you. Everything about you, are you willing to yield it to Jesus Christ? You see, it's personal. What about you? What about you? What about you? What about you? Are you willing to yield all that you call you to Jesus Christ? Yourself. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. He says, I beg of you, please, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable unto God, it's your reasonable service. And be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may know the will of God. The will of God is good. It's acceptable. It's perfect. But first of all, are you willing to get on the altar? A living sacrifice. You see, you. I'm not talking about your neighbor. I'm not talking about the people that aren't here. I'm talking about you. Are you willing to surrender, submit absolutely to Jesus Christ? We get into a bind because, you see, we often want to give him different items. We want to give him our money and we want to give him our marriage. But you realize we're like the old poster of Uncle Sam. Uncle Sam wants you. Do you realize what God says? I want you. I want you. And if I have you, then I'll have your money. I'll have your house. I'll have your wife. I'll have your children. I'll have everything about you. But I want you. That is what we're talking about when we talk about surrender and submission. Submit personally. Possessive. See, notice this. Unto your own husband. Your own husband. You see, this is the one that possesses me. I possess Jesus Christ, but Jesus Christ possesses me. It's your own husband. I belong to him. So I don't withhold anything from him. Everything that I have, everything that I own, everything that I am, not only belongs to me, it belongs to Jesus Christ. And so often, what area of your life or what areas within your life are you saying, this is mine. It's mine. It's mine. And everything that's yours, you can lose it. Everything that belongs to you, you can lose. What belongs to him, you can never lose. And I've given the illustration at times because sometimes I'm in the slow learner class and I just don't catch on very much. I was when I was in seminary, you're always running low on money and you're getting by. And the next thing you know, my alternator goes out on my car and so I'm thinking, oh, pff, 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 pff. And in a real godly way, I'm saying, oh, thank God for this. Anyway, but I didn't. I was griping. So they put in my guy puts in my alternator. 2 or 3 weeks later, we go down to see my father and my mother. It was some kind of a holiday of some kind. And so we're down there. We're out in a mall parking lot, and the next thing I mean, what does a Christian say at a time like that? Oh, golly gee. It wasn't turning over. And so a mechanic friend of my father comes to check out the, and he says, well, your alternator's not working. I said, well, hit it with a screwdriver or something. I don't know. Do something. And he says, well, let me look at it. He says, well, somebody put on a used alternator. He says, look at the numbers here. He says, there's a painter on here. He says, they got it. Somebody, he said, when did you put this on? I said, about two weeks ago. Boy, I'll tell you then, I was really godly. I was frosted beyond measure. And I was walking around the car, and I was stewing and spluttering because some stupid mechanic at the other end put on this. And I was... And my daddy says, well, son, if that's the way God wants to spend his money, that's his business. Oh, man. But boy, it's true. If that's the way God wants to spend his money, that's his business. That was just, and so all these little frustrations that you have throughout your life is just an indication of what really doesn't belong to him. It has nothing to do with, it's his, your own husband. I belong to him. He belongs to me. And let me tell you, he can do anything he wants because it's his and it's not mine. Submit as partners, your own husbands. See, this is my partner until death do us part. Now, within the ideal situation, that would be true. But you'll find within Christ and the church, it is true. There is no separation. There is no divorce when it comes to Jesus Christ. And so what happens is that I have one that he's my partner for life. You may find yourself, if you're in a marriage situation, you may find yourself alone. Jesus says, I'll never, no, never, ever leave you nor forsake you. He's the one that comforts me. He's the one that builds me up. He's the one that draws me close. He's the one that gives me strength. He's my closest friend, and he's always there. Now, I'll toss out another thing, you slackards of husbands. Jesus Christ is a picture of what you should be within your home and family. You should provide that safety and that security. And We had something within our home. We never said the word divorce. My wife said, I want to kill you sometimes, but she's never said we never divorced. Why? Because we're a picture of Christ in the church. I think that's one of the reasons that people that are lost don't really get it when it comes to the church of Jesus Christ, because they're seeing too many people that are married splitting and taking off. And if they can't make it, how in the world can I make it? It's a picture of Christ in the church. And as a marriage partner, you're married to Jesus Christ. Do you always do it right? No. Do you always say what you should? No. Do you always act like you should? No. You see, and I will say this. If your marriage isn't worth a nickel, then do something about it. If you don't like what's going on, find out what it is that's wrong and fix the thing. Because, let me tell you what you're going to do when you get married again. You're going to bring the same problems, the same burden, the same personality into that marriage. Unless Jesus Christ does something about it, you're going to deal with the same problems except a different person. No one is perfect. And yet when it comes to Jesus Christ, He is. And what we have is that we have, and oh, by the way, starting the first Sunday in January, my class is going to split between those people that are married and perhaps those that aren't. Some of those that aren't, they may not want to go. But we're going to have a family seminar that's going to be meeting downstairs for Sunday school for the first quarter. Because to me, even good marriages can become better, and bad marriages can become good. You see, God doesn't want you to go through life miserable. That's what we always think that the reason we're miserable is the person that we're married to. No, you're miserable, and the person you're married to just brings it out. And so what God wants to do, though, is that He wants to do something within that home and within that family. It doesn't have to be an ordeal all the way through life. And what we need to realize is there once again, the picture of Christ and the church. And so we submit as partners. Also, we submit powerfully and practically. You know, the most practical thing? It says, wives, submit your husbands as unto the Lord. One of the big problems that I find within the Christian home and family is that the wife is not submitting unto the Lord. Now he's going to tell me as a husband to love my wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for it. So I find you have two selfish people living under one roof trying to get along. It's not this. I need to, first of all, submit to the Lord. L-O-R-D. I need to turn the reins over to someone else. And so the most practical thing in the world, I must see him as my sovereign. This God is Lord of my life. And so whenever you are wives submitting yourselves to your husband, yielding up your right, don't look at it as though you're yielding up your right to that jerk that doesn't put the stool lid down. You're yielding up your rights to Jesus Christ. As to the Lord. L-O-R-D. He's the one that's in control. He's the one that calls the shots. He's the one that's a prime mover. He's the one that we need to see within the center of our life, the center of our home, the center of our family, is that He's in control. Now, as I see Him as Lord, I need to give Him the rights as Lord. And guess what? I'll go where He wants me to go, do what He wants me to do, be what He wants me to be, and He can do anything He wants to with me because He's the Lord of my life. And I think there once again, here's the other thing that you'll find that's a problem within home and families and marriages and life in general. There's more things that are going on spiritually than there are physical and physically. We always look at it, we're going to find out in the next chapter, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities, powers, mights, and dominions, and the rulers of the darkness of this world. This thing of marriage is a physical union between two people, but I find out whether or not Jesus Christ is Lord of my life as I begin to live this out within my home and within my family. Now, I can do away with all counseling and all marriage seminars and even my Sunday school class we're going to have within next week, and I hate to say that, but we could do away with it if you have a husband that's controlled by the Holy Spirit and the wife that's controlled by the Holy Spirit. All the other counseling sessions go right out the door. When Jesus Christ takes control of the husband and Jesus Christ takes control of the wife, then living here on earth is not only possible, it's a joy. And I think that what we need to see, back up instead of saying, okay, what do I need to change? What do I need? Okay, you can put the lid down on the stool and guess what? You'll still have a problem. You can pick up all your dirty socks and throw them in the hamper and you still have a problem. You can even make the bed. Yeah, right. I guess the wife could even make the bed sometime. It wouldn't hurt. But I'm just saying, you can change all the physical things. You can move the furniture all around, and you still have to live with yourself. But when Jesus Christ is in control, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance, against which there is no law. We spend so much time trying to move the furniture around within our marriage rather than getting right with Jesus Christ. Get right with Jesus Christ and your marriage will take care of itself. Whenever you sit up on the throne instead of Jesus Christ, the home's going to look like you, it's going to sound like you, and it's going to act like you, and people are not going to enjoy being there. But when Jesus Christ is there, it's amazing. You see, are you willing to yield up your rights? I must see him as my superintendent. Verse 23, the first part. You see, the superintendent, I run everything past him. That's what he says in verse 23. And he says, for the husband is the head of the wife. Boy, I'll tell you that. That's a frosty statement. For the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. You see, he's the director. And the body responds. Now, look at it another way. Is it hurtful or harmful if my body responds to the head? I mean, physically. Guess what? Your body responds to your head. If it doesn't, you have a problem. I mean, next thing, you'll stick mashed potato in your ear this afternoon. You didn't know you were having mashed potatoes. I just thought I'd let you in on it because you've had now mashed potatoes for 3 days. That's okay. But I think that so often we think, oh, that's demeaning. That's horrible. That's horrible to put a wife in that position. Well, wait a minute. Is it demeaning for the body to respond to the head? It's the same way with Jesus Christ. He's the head of the church. Is it wrong for me to respond to him? No. There's a problem if I don't. There's a problem if I don't respond to Jesus Christ in the proper manner. See, he's the director. But you see, a home without a director is an invitation to chaos. There has to be some director to give it direction. And so notice that he's the director. He is the head. Now, the problem is that whenever you have a husband that is not right with Jesus Christ trying to lead the thing, the most important thing you fellas can do here, I'm talking about those of you that are here this morning, is to get your heart right with God and be right with Jesus Christ and be the proper one to lead the home and lead the family. Fellas, you have a big responsibility, as we're going to learn next week. You have a tremendously big responsibility that's too big for you. And if you wonder why in the world the wife is not responding to you, maybe you're not giving the proper leadership and the proper direction within the home and the family. Because you see, he is the director. And so the attitude and the atmosphere within the home and family often starts with dad, and then with mom, and then with the rest of the family. He's the director, but notice he is the direction. As Christ is the head of the church, he is my life, he's my director, he's my direction. All the orders come from headquarters. All the orders come from this one, Jesus Christ. Within the four spiritual laws, you see what this God does. He is the opens doors, he shuts doors, he moves things around. Four spiritual laws says God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. And he does. He has a wonderful plan for your life. Because as he's the head of the church, he's the head of the church. Now, the thing that I always toss out is, where'd you get that thought? He's the head of their church. The other side of it is that no two are alike. Notice chapter 5, verse 15. Chapter 5, verse 17, he says, understanding what the will of God is for your life. You mean God has a will for me? Yeah. Yeah. I'm not here by accident? No. The things that happened to me? No. God is moving you in a fantastic way, and he does love you, and he has a wonderful plan for your life. And in verse 18, I must be continually controlled by the Holy Spirit. And if that's true of the church, it's also true within our home. It's also true within our family. But are you willing to yield up your rights and love? I must see him as my superintendent, but I must see him as my Savior. Notice verse 23, the last part. He says, and he is the Savior of the body. We see that he died to set me free. But he lives. Notice this. He. Notice our sovereign. He. He. There's one. There can be no other. He. He's the Messiah. He's the conquering king. He's the coming king. He. He's the one that died upon the cross for our sins. He is the one that has a will for your life. He. And I must realize it's not about me. It's about him. And he is the Savior. Our Savior, this one, if you're here this morning without Jesus Christ, he loved you so much he died on the cross for your sins. You see, one of the key characteristics of a good husband is that he's willing to die to his will, to his rights, to his way of doing things, to his way of thinking. He what? He's my Savior. And this Jesus Christ died in order to set me free. And this Savior must be the only one that can save your marriage. He's the only one that can save your home. He's the only one that can save your family. He's the only one that can save your life. And so often, we try to have... Let me tell you one of the biggest kept secrets. It's called a Christian home. Let me tell you what's left out of most Christian homes? Christ. Christ. You come to church, and the rest of the time, you don't even bring him into it. But he's the Savior. Notice our sufficiency. He's the Savior of the body. Toss it out this other way. The husband is to be the protector of his wife, but nothing on the scale of Jesus Christ. The husband needs to be deeply concerned about his wife's welfare. You see, Jesus Christ gave himself up on behalf of the church. What did he do? He died. For God so loved... Death is always involved. Death is always involved. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. He died. Let me tell you what's going to happen as a husband when you yield up your rights. You're going to begin to die. You're going to die to your will, to your way, to your rights. And it's not going to be your wife's will, way, or rights. It's what does Jesus Christ want for this unit? What does Jesus Christ want for this home? What does Jesus Christ want for this family? And it's amazing what he wants for the home, for the family. Philippians 2, verse 4 through 8. He starts out in verse 4. Look not every man on his own thing, but every man also on the things of others. So in other words, quit living for yourself. Then he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He made himself of no reputation. He took upon himself the form of servant, the form of a man. He humbled himself and he died. He says, let this mind be in you. Let this mind be in you. The problem with homes, the problem with families, and the problem with the church in general is we tell God how to do it. He's the Savior of the body. He's the one that can bring life to that home. He's the one that can bring life to that family. He's the one that can bring life to you and to me. Why? Because he died. Now he says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. So what, yielding up your rights in love. I must see him as my Savior. But also, I must see him as my superior. Notice verse 24. In what? In everything. Oh, my goodness. I'm in the right church in the wrong pew. Just had to flip over here a little bit. We'll get up. He says, therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to to her own husband in everything. Therefore, submit thoughtfully. The most logical thing in the world to do, if he's my Savior, if he's my superintendent, if he's my sovereign, if he's the Lord of my life, the most logical thing, therefore, turn the rights over to him. Therefore, in what? In everything. In everything. Submit tenderly, as the church is subject to Christ. The word there, subject, is exactly the same word as submit. The church is subject to Christ. You see, yielding should be voluntary. It should be wholehearted. But yield up your rights. You see, this is really tough. Like I said, we don't even understand this within the 21st century. Why? Because we have gay rights, women's rights, men's rights, kids' rights, the gay community rights. We have rights all over. But no one ever says give them up. He says hang on to them. Hang on to that rights as a woman. Hang on to that rights as a man. Hang on to that rights as a child. Hang on to the rights. Let me tell you what Jesus Christ is. Let them go. Get married and let go of your rights so that you can obtain his rights. Allow him to be the Lord of your life. We need to be subject to Christ. You see, it's a thought. Well, this just isn't natural. It isn't natural. The most natural thing is to be self-preserving. Yeah, that's why you have so many divorces. That's why you have so many problems within your home, because it's all about you. It's not all about you. It's not all about you. It's what about Jesus Christ? What about your kids? What about the in-laws? We always think this crazy thing that as long as everybody's happy, then divorce is fine. It's never fine. It's never fine. I remember U.S. News and World Report back several years ago did a study on 3,000 good divorces. 93% had problems later on. The kids of good divorces had problems. They had problems of trusting people. They had problems of security. They had problems of advancing. They had problems of accomplishment. They just had problems. We've tossed out this thing. Well, as long as everybody's happy, it's good. It's not good. It's not good. But I think one of the things we see, we need to see as subject to Christ. As subject to Christ. Notice to submit totally. What do I submit in everything? That to me is why it is so important that a husband be right with Jesus Christ. Because you're going to have a bigger responsibility than you can ever imagine. The home will take on your attitude and your reflection of it. The way that you handle authority, the way that you deal it out and dish it out is so important. Because did you ever notice how Jesus Christ dishes it out? He died for me. He died for me. Also, you'll find this. If you have a husband that loves his wife so much that he's willing to give up his way, his will, his rights, and even his own self, the wife will want to submit. You'd want to follow something like that. Can you imagine a husband that always looks out for the best for his wife instead of him or himself? I want to follow that. Let me tell you the problem with most of us. We don't get it until it's just about too late. Why do you get married? Oh, it's for what she does for me. Now you've been married for so much time. Oh, it's what she does for me. It's what she does for me. Have you ever thought of love as what you can do for her? What you can do for the family? What you can do for somebody else? Stop living for yourself and begin to think about others. Let me tell you who Jesus Christ thought of on the cross. Me. Me. Quit thinking about yourself and begin to live controlled by the Holy Spirit as what? Yield as Christ in everything. His will, his approval, his control. Years ago, there was a song that came out, gave them all. Are you tired of chasing rainbows? Are you tired of spinning round and round? Give them all. Give them all. Give them all to Jesus. Shattered dreams, wounded hearts, broken toys. Give them all, and He'll turn your sorrows into joy. Submit teachably. So let the wife be to her husbands. Let me tell you, it's a sure way to end conflict. You'll find within marriage it's a battle of the wills. It's a day-by-day, moment-by-moment battle. Let me tell you the tough thing I have with Beth, I mean, other than walking on water, I mean, her other problem is she always wants to tell me what to do. Shoo. Now, to most people, it sounds like nagging. To me, it sounds like nagging. But I think that what happens, though, is that there, once again, we fellas, if we just do it the first time they tell us, they wouldn't have to tell us 18 other times. But I think that what happens is that we make a big deal out of nothing. Most of the stuff we fuss and fume about, it's not going to matter 10 years from now. It's not going to matter when they're dead. It's not going to matter. And I think they're, once again, so wise. It's a teachable moment. Get your relationship to Jesus Christ right and let Him take care of your husband. Get your relationship to Jesus Christ right and let Him take care of the kids. Get your life right with Jesus Christ, because it's never easy, by the way, to yield up your rights. And could I ask you another question? What's going on right now within your marriage, your home, and your family? It's an indication of what's going on in your life and your relationship to Jesus Christ. That's a tough one. You want to know what? You don't want to tell you what your relationship to Jesus Christ looks like? Look at your relationship to your wife. You say, man, is it that bad? It probably is. And I think that, once again, I think that we so often miss it. The home and the family just is. God brings us together so that we can grow, and so that we can develop, and so that we can be more Christ-like. And I remember somebody came into my father's office one day, and he told me later. He said, we've been married for about 23 years, and we've never had an argument. And my dad said, well, one of the two of you wasn't even needed. I think it's true. We think that you're never going to have any disagreements. You're loony. How are you going to change? How are you going to grow? How are you going to develop? There has to be ways, and it's called communication. You're going to have to get to the place you talk. Let me tell you, your problem between you and Jesus Christ, communication. Communication. And when communication breaks down between you and Jesus Christ, then guess what? Your relationship begins to suffer. Your relationship goes sour. Let me tell you, one of the biggest problems within home and family, there once again, communication. You have to get back to the place that you don't. I don't mean just talk. And that's the other thing I've noticed. The older I get, the less I hear. I think my hearing is gone. My wife says, no, it's just selective. She said, you can hear a turkey if it's about a half mile away. You can't hear me when you're across the room. And I said, well, if you'd squawk like a turkey, maybe. But it's true. We as fellows zone everything out. I'm serious. We zone everything out. And we wonder why in the world there's the lack of communication. It's not that you don't talk. It's you don't communicate. Let me tell you the best thing with me and living as Christ in the church. It's when we communicate. When the Word of God speaks. When He speaks. When I obey. When I listen. And the picture is that's the picture of Christ in the church in everything. You see, Jesus that lives in me, chapter 5 and verse 18, He's going to be seen everywhere I go. If He is in control, there isn't any place that He's not seen. Let me tell you the problem in your home and family. Jesus Christ isn't seen. They see you and they hear you. But what about Him? Do they hear and see Jesus Christ? That's what He wants. That's what He wants. It's like I said, you think this is bad? The fellas, they get about 5 times as much next week. Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for it. See, but not only does the wife yield up her rights in love, so does the husband. My question is this. Let's look at the last slide. Submit. I yield up my rights in love. Now, here's the question. Are you controlled by the Holy Spirit? See, are you willing to yield up your rights to Jesus Christ? Let me see your home. Do you want to know whether or not you're controlled by the Holy Spirit? Let me see your home. Let me just live there for a week. As I look out here at this bunch of rascals, guess what? I wouldn't even have to live there a week. You'd be moving me out after about 2 days. Well, the preacher's seen enough. Let's go. Jesus Christ sees it all the time. All the time. Did you ever get this? We so often think that Jesus Christ died on the cross to take me to heaven. Jesus Christ died on the cross to make living worthwhile. Right now. It's not just a happy future by and by thing. He wants me to enjoy the life that I have now. And the only way I can do that is to submit to Jesus Christ. So my question is, first of all, do you know him? If you don't know him, now's a great time. But if you do know him, take a look at your home, your family. Take a look at your own life. Is he Lord? Is he in control? And if not, where? And the next question, why not? Why not? Let's all stand. We're going to sing Surrender, the last song that we had. If God is dealing with you, John gave you an opportunity with I Surrender All. If God is dealing with you, if there's areas of your life you say, boy, I'm hanging on to this, I'm hanging on to this. How do you know what area are you hanging on to? What area are you miserable? Give it to him to start 2018 on the right note.
I'm giving you my heart and all that is within. I lay it all down for the sake of you, my King. I'm giving you my dream. I'm laying down.
To close the morning service differently. Thank God for the snow, for the ice. For those of you that can, I just want you to slip out of your seats. I want you to kneel up here. I want you to kneel here. I want you to just close the morning service with just a time of prayer up around the altar. Just want you to slip out. You say, well, I can't. Okay, don't. You say, I can't find a place. Grab a seat. But just slip out. And what I'd like to do, I'd like for us just to close in prayer. If you have to leave, feel free to do so. There's plenty of room up here on the platform. The only place, there's a warm place in the carpet where the preacher walks back and forth. You may be kneeling at the along the side. You may be kneeling down the aisle. I don't care. If you can't kneel, grab a seat. And what I want us to do is I want us to have prayers of commitment, not only of ourselves, but also the Church of Jesus Christ, also your homes and your family. What I'd like for us to do is just to have one lead out in prayer and another lead out in prayer and another lead out in prayer, and then I'll close. Matt Miller, would you start us in and then go from there?
Father, we thank you for the privilege to be here this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your messenger. We thank you for those that are here, Lord. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We ask that your Holy Spirit would lead, guide, and direct us. Help us as we work on a new year. Allow your Holy Spirit to guide and direct us. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Help us to stay faithful to it. Be willing to follow and be the leaders that you call us to be. Help us learn to be a church that's bound together. Good to be you. And we thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Lord, I submit to you today. I lay down all my burdens and all of my dreams and plans. Father, it's so easy to think and plan